I started making a few phone calls and actually found it very easy to find Judge Jim Garrison sitting behind a desk, and he picked up the phone. And he told me at the time, this was the late 80s, early 90s, he told me that I had been actually the only person that had ever called him in all those years after it was all over with Clay Shaw, and that nobody had ever even called him in all those years. And that was very sad to me. But, you know, he was ex-military, I'm ex-military, and we both have similar characteristics in that we cuss like troopers, and we're very aggressive in how we go about our work. And we got to be good friends, and for several years we talked every Sunday at his home, and I got to know him pretty well. And he was still a very, very tough, angry man about the JFK assassination. But one of the things I learned from him is he would share some of the research that he'd been doing long after Clay Shaw and everything that he did as a prosecutor. He never stopped researching it. He was still convinced that there was something there that needed to be uncovered, and he did uncover a great deal. He had three filing cabinets full of data, and one of the most interesting things he uncovered is that Lee Harvey Oswald, Sirhan Bishara Sirhan, and James Earl Ray all had lived within a block of each other in a Schlumberger housing project in Dallas, Texas.
How bizarre can that be, Craig?
And there's no possible way that could be a coincidence. And following that kind of research, you know, he built a file, and he talked to me about endlessly about so many things, but it was a dead end for him. You know, he'd written two novels before he wrote On the Trail of Assassins, and all of this material that he had, he said he wanted to leave it to someone, but he didn't know who to leave it to. There was nobody that had contacted him in all those years. But obviously someone was still listening to him quite closely, because after about the third year we were talking, and he started saying that he wanted to ship some of the material to me, all three files disappeared.
Oh, my.
He had them stashed away in the basement of a good friend's home that absolutely nobody could have found out where they were. But somewhere in the conversations between him and I, he felt that his phone was still being tapped, and those files all did disappear. And he remained very angry about that for a very long time.
Well, he was so close, I think, Craig, to putting it together. I mean, so very, very close.
So very close, yes. And then of course, he met Oliver Stone, and that was truly a blessing because, you know, a lot of movie makers will make movies about people after they're dead, especially on a subject like this. But Oliver felt a real kinship to the Kennedy assassination, as most of us in that age group. You know, we were all either in Vietnam or we were peace protesters, and it struck us as very odd. But right after JFK, within a couple of months of each other, of course, you know, Bobby Kennedy dies and Martin Luther King dies, all within just a couple of months. Now, Garrison pointed this out over and over again when we talked, that in any other country, the first thing that would be looked at when a high-level leader, two high-level leaders, and a political activist of the stature of Martin Luther King, Nobel Prize winner, by the way.
Yes.
The first thing any other country in the world would look at is their intelligence service.
Exactly.
And yet that wasn't done. And that's one of the most important aspects to what he put in the trail on the Trail of Assassins. It didn't come out in the movie, Oliver's movie, so much. It didn't really have the impact I think it should have. But it's on page 26, 27 of Garrison's book. It's really significant that New Orleans, where Guy Bannister operated out of and where Oswald operated out of, was on a block in New Orleans that was the center of our intelligence community, FBI, CIA, Naval Intelligence, Secret Service, they were all housed in the top floor of a cluster of buildings right next to each other, and right below it was Guy Bannister's offices. And he found that to be absolutely stunning, that these agencies couldn't see, you know, Guy Bannister and Oswald walking around within full view of their offices.
Right under their noses.
Right under their nose. So a lot of the things that he began discovering and really not having an opportunity to report on, they were those kinds of things, just these stunning coincidences that didn't show up in any report, any file. Nobody's ever discussed it. And God knows, you know, to go back now and try to do the same research he had done up to when his files were stolen, it would be an impossible task. And somebody kept tabs on him to make sure that those files never were released.
They were afraid, I think, Craig, of what he had, what he knew.
There's no question. We know that he was sabotaged. We know that his investigation and his court case was infiltrated. It was wiretapped. And, you know, they tried to have him arrested. They tried IRS on him. They tried everything to shut him down. But like I said, you know, he wasn't the character Kevin Costner played. Jim Garris was a gigantic man. He was like 6'7", 240 pounds. And he carried a long slide 45 in the back band of his waistband of his pants with no holster. He was just a huge, violent warrior, dead serious about putting bad guys away, and he was not afraid to mix it up with anybody. And I think that's part of what terrified him. He was never going to be an easy man to get rid of.
I think he knew that there was a coup in this country, and they didn't want him to talk.
No matter how you look at it, you know, Kennedy was killed, Bobby was killed, Martin Luther King were killed, and others, just Medgar Evers, it was a decade of assassinations. And all of this took place just before the Tet Offensive and Johnson escalating the war in Vietnam. Now, whether you believe, well, let me put it bluntly. If you still believe, anybody still really believes, I'm not discounting, you know, somebody who's never read about it, doesn't know anything, but anybody that knows a little bit about this, if they say Oswald did it, they can only be one of two things in my book. They're either lying or they're just silly people.
Or misinformed.
Or so misinformed. But how could you be misinformed after the movies, and even Emilio Estevez's movie about Bobby Kennedy was an excellent portrayal of the reality that took place? There's no way Sirhan killed Bobby Kennedy. It just didn't happen that way. So when you say that Garrison knew that we suffered a coup d'etat, you know, the American public has to understand we did. Now, whether you believe the assassination was perpetrated by the CIA or whoever you want to believe it was, we did suffer a coup d'etat, and it didn't end with John Kennedy, and it didn't begin with John Kennedy.